Hallelujah. Yes, he did. Amen. Hallelujah. Sure, amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. We're glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyone else want to stand and give a testimony of praise? Praise God. Well, it sounds like Satan's been trying to work. Remember, God's greater. God's always on the job. Can I remind us tonight that he's under our feet? He's under our feet. Turn to your neighbor. Satan is under our feet. Glory to God.
I went to the enemy camp.
Reminded of that, amen, that he's under our feet. And if the enemy has ever robbed you of anything, then you got the power to march right in and take back what he stole from you, whether it be your joy, your peace, amen, your victory, whatever it is, amen, you just march right in there, amen, and take back what the enemy has stole from us. Praise God, because greater is the Lord that is within us, amen, than Satan that comes against us. Praise God. How many born-again saints we got in the church tonight? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, good. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of Philemon. Right before the book of Hebrews. One chapter. So that's the one we'll use. Amen. Philemon chapter 1, verse 1. When you get there, Say, great is our Lord.
Great is our Lord.
All right. Reading from the Word of God. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Can we bow our heads in prayer? Brother Adam, would you take us to the Lord in prayer and ask God to bless and anoint us tonight? Yes, Lord. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise if you would. Come on, you're clapping for Jesus now. Hallelujah. You're clapping for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I Am. Tonight I want to bring a message entitled Effectual Faith. Effectual Faith. How many has ever seen faith in exercise? Seen faith, amen, in motion? How many has ever exercised faith and get the results? Can you just give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Come on, give Him praise. Faith is a wonderful thing. Here we find the Apostle Paul writing to Philemon. And he uses some phraseology here that I feel that is very important to the church today. And how many knows that we're saved by faith? Amen. But faith needs to be effective in our lives. But he knows that your life is an open book to other people. We take testimony service is the only thing that we do in church when we're with fellow believers. But our testimony outside the church speaks volumes. Amen. People are watching us. People are watching you. They are affected by your faith. They are affected by your attitude. They are affected, man, by the demeanor that you portray each and every day. That's the reason I believe that we need to stand tall for God. We need to claim victory in every avenue of our life. Whatever we may be facing, situations may become dire. Situations may become very frustrating at times. But we need to be able to exercise the faith that the Lord has instilled into each and every one of us. I want to talk a little bit about faith tonight and about your faith in particular. Now, when I say your faith, I'm talking about my faith as well. Man, how many knows that we must have faith in order to please the Lord? But can I remind us tonight that on many occasions our faith may be tested? Man, I don't want a show of hands, but you just acknowledge tonight if your faith has ever been tested by any means, by any degrees. I'm thinking of Abraham here, who was known as the friend of God. Amen. And very faithful in his service to God, very faithful in his praise and fellowship with God. But Abraham's faith was tested. A request that God made explicitly to Abraham to take his son Isaac and take him to a place up into a mountain and there offer him as a sacrifice. And many, many times when we dedicate and commit our life to God, there's things that happen in our life that may be a test of faith. It may be a test of our strength and our servitude unto God. And don't think about this as punishment. Don't think about this as God getting even with us or anything like that. But maybe it's just to strengthen our faith. And it may become a test, in fact. And Abraham took Isaac up to the mountain. And I would imagine that was kind of a rough trip to make. If you think about a father-son relationship and what God has asked us to do, and many, many times God may request things in our life that may be uncomfortable to say the least. In fact, it may be to a point where we really have to stay prayed up and ask the will of the Father to supersede the will of our life, as Jesus Christ Himself prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Things may become difficult. Things may become hard. Things may become to a point where we think we're impossible for us to be able to do what the Lord has asked us to do. But nevertheless, Abraham, being the friend of God, obeyed God and by faith took his son Isaac up to that place of a sacrifice and placed him on the altar there. And the Bible tells us, and I have to agree with the Word of God, and I have to understand that the Word of God is true, and by all facts and everything that we hear, Abraham had already drawn the knife back and was ready to sacrifice his only son unto God. That's how faithful he was to God. And God saw that, and you know the story. He sent an angel to stay the knife, and there was a sacrificial ram there in behalf of Isaac, and a beautiful and wonderful story. But the thing about that, Abraham did not know that when he left the house with Isaac. Come on, people. He didn't know that. He didn't know that God was going to change his mind when he got up there. He knew that by faith he had to obey God. So sometimes a test of faith may be difficult. It may be hard to say the least. But nevertheless, if we remain true to God and if we really are sold out to God, we got to have faith in the good times, and we also got to have faith in the bad times. We got to have faith when we can't see the answer, when we can't see the light of day. We still have to trust God, amen, and trust His Word. I want to remind us that at times faith may not be popular. Man, faith may not be popular. I'm reminded of Noah and the day that God called him to build an ark. He meant that he was going to send rain upon the earth and he was going to destroy every living thing. And I can only imagine how Noah, the abuse and ridicule that he went through each and every day as he and his family began to build an ark, because at that particular time there was no such thing as an abundance of rain or a flood that may come. And I imagine he took a lot of abuse, and I begin to attribute that to today. How many knows that it's not popular, amen, to stand and proclaim that Christ is our Lord and Savior? Amen, it's not popular. It's beginning to be a point of attack in the world today, and many Christians are attacked for the very fact that they are born again believers, and that they believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and our Redeemer and our Savior. And we take abuse for that, and we take so many times it's unpopular, and many, many times it's caused us as Christians sometimes not to be as bold and proclaim the Word of God. But let me tell you something. Even though faith may be at times unpopular, it is still something that we have to hold to. We still have to take hold of the faith of God and live by faith and operate by faith in everything that we do if we want our faith to be effective. How many wants your faith to be effective to others? How many wants to be responsible for leading lost souls to Jesus Christ? Amen. You got to remain steadfast. You got to remain unmovable. And you got to remain in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times our faith may be questioned. Sometimes what God asks us to do, other people may not understand. Moses was a devout man. Moses was the leader. Moses was the chosen vessel that God called to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, as we talked about this morning. But if you Bible readers know and understand, there were many, many times that although the children of Israel were freed from Egyptian bondage, they began to question Moses. They began to question not only his authority and his leadership, but whether or not he even had their best will at heart, because they began to murmur and complain that he had brought them out into a desert for them to die. At least they had food and water back in Egypt, but now they question his authority, even so much so as he went up on the mountain to receive the word of God. Amen. God spoke to him himself, but down there in the camp, the children of Israel grew restless, and they began to question Moses' leadership, and they brought Aaron, and they said, "You must make unto us an idol." So many, many times you may feel
feel like you're all alone. You may feel like no one else, amen, is there to console you. But you must remain faithful. If you want your faith to become effective, if you want your faith to be effectual and have an impact on others and upon our lifestyle, we must remain faithful even when our faith is questioned. We were just talking this week, and it was brought up about my mother and about the steadfast faith that she had, and especially when my son broke his arm. And you just bear with me tonight, because many of you have already heard this story and this testimony. But I was also reminded this week that it needs to be told. Amen. When God does something, we don't need to remain quiet about it, do we? My little brother was in the second grade. I was in the fourth. We were with two other cousins, one cousin older than me, one cousin younger than my brother. They were there at an uncle and aunt's house. They were moving in, and there were boxes everywhere, and we were too little and to be of any use, so we were told to go outside and play. So we went out in the front yard, and we began to tear down these big cardboard boxes, and we made us an arena. And we made us a rodeo arena. And I and my older cousin were the Bucking Broncos, and the two smaller cousins were the cowboys that rode upon the Bucking Broncos. And we were having a lot of fun. We were throwing them off with regularity, and everybody was laughing. And all of a sudden, laughter turned to fear, because my brother was thrown from my older cousin, and he fell on his arm and his left arm, and he broke it pretty severely. And mom and dad, of course, we went running in the house, and of course Dennis was screaming and crying. So dad was there, and they were painting, and he had borrowed some of Uncle Fred's pants. Daddy's about 6 foot. Uncle Fred ain't nowhere near it. Uncle Fred was a little bit shorter, a good bit shorter, and so Dad had on a pair of his pants. Now, they'd been perfectly in style today, because they hit him just right below his knee there. So he come running out. He jumped in. They took Dennis to, this was on Vincent Mountain in Polk County. They took him to the Polk County Hospital there in Rockmart. They said the severe is too break. The break is too severe. Rather, we're going to rush him to Rome. They took him to Rome so that they could set his arm. And the doctors went on to say later that told mom and dad that his arm was broken so bad in the elbow that it would never be perfectly straight. It would heal, it would be just as strong, but it would never be completely straight. He would never be able to reach the back of his head and put his hand on the back of his head, because it would just not allow him to do that. Well, mother did not accept that, and she began to claim victory. She began to pray. First thing she did, thank God for an altar. Thank God for a Pentecostal people that believe that God is able to do what doctors say can't be done. Amen. Glory to God. So little church in Rockmart, she brought him up for prayer. I remember just vividly, and prayer was made, and we just went on about our business, you know. But Dennis's arm healed. He went back to school and all, but it was crooked, just like the doctor said. And it was just, he couldn't straighten it completely out. He couldn't touch the back of his head. Well, mother just kept praying and believing, and God seemed to lay it on her heart. Rather than praying, just go ahead and claim it. Go ahead and call it done. Not only that, but get up and testify about it. Now, if you want people to question your faith, the first thing they're going to do, whatever you step out on faith and claim it done, they're going to look and see if it's really done. So she got up at the little church in Rockmart, and she thanked God for healing her little son's arm, and thanked God for making it straight. And those precious saints of God, they looked over the rim of their glasses and looked over, and Dennis's arm was just as crooked as it ever was. But mother was persistent in her testimony. Every chance that she got, she would thank God for straightening Dennis's arm. And this went on for weeks, if not months, and his arm was still just as crooked as it ever was. Well, we had a Holy Ghost-filled rally that we called a youth rally. Brother Walter Smith probably knows what I'm talking about. It's where three or four churches get together and worship and praise the Lord, and each little church has a part in it, you know. So it's a packed-out house. It was in Rome, Georgia, and the Spirit of the Lord moved on mother and said, why don't you get up and testify about your son's healing, about Dennis's arm being completely straight? Well, the first thing mother thought about, well, these people are going to think I'm absolutely crazy, because I can see that his arm is still bent. But anyway, how many knows the Holy Ghost is persistent too? So the first opportunity she got, she stood up and she said, I want to thank God for healing my son's arm, and I want to thank God. The doctor said it would never be straight, but praise God, I'm claiming, and I believe it's going to be straight as the other one. People looked at it and he's still just as crooked. So this went on. And then we were out in the yard playing one day, Dennis and myself. We were out on the swing set. And mother, you know, mothers always look out the window to see what the boys are doing, making sure that no harm has come to them, or in our case, making sure we hadn't come to harm to nobody else, not done anything mischievous. So she was looking out there and on the play swings, and then Dennis was swinging, and she looked at Dennis's arm, and when he was swinging, and then she looked at it again, and when he was swinging up, it'd be just as straight as the other one. She looked again, rubbed her eyes, and sure enough, when he got down out of the swing, she looked, and his arm is just as straight. His left arm to this day is just as straight, amen, as the right one. Praise God. That is faith that is put into effect, amen. That is when faith becomes effectual. It may not be popular. It may be questioned, and at times it may seem fruitless. But I will assure you, if you will hold on to God and put your faith and trust in Him, God will do His part. Can you say amen tonight? Glory to God. So your faith may be questioned, but also your faith may bring down walls. Glory to God. Can I get a testimony? Can I get a witness? Amen. It may not be material walls. It may not be natural walls. But it can be spiritual walls that have been built up in your life. Amen. I'm reminded of Joshua. Amen. When he went there and the Spirit of God told him, said, see, I have given you this city. But when you look at that city, every wall was intact. It was completely around it. But let me tell you something. That should not stop us from having our faith and trust in God. We may see the walls there. But if we call it done, amen, God will flatten those walls that are in our life. Many of us today who have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost for years and years and years still have walls in our life. I want to encourage you tonight, amen, hold on to the faith. Keep that faith strong. Amen. It will become effectual, amen, if we're persistent in our faith. And you know the story of Jericho when the walls completely fell flat. Faith may destroy giants, as in the case of David. You might. I also thought about faith sometimes affects other people. So many times we think about God interceding on behalf of David, but look at the other people that were saved because of David's faith. Amen. Your faith, amen, may be responsible for other folks in your life being saved. Amen. If you live the life, amen, if you proclaim faith, if you live by faith, and your faith becomes effectual, meaning that it has an effect on others, a positive effect. You can lead people to the Lord, and you may not ever realize it. They may not ever let you know. They may not ever attend this church, but that seed that you plant may be the thing that's responsible, amen, for that person giving their life to Christ. So David not only was able to destroy the giant, but also save countless lives around him. Your faith may open eyes, as in the case of Bartimaeus, who had faith to believe. Man, I love the story of blind Bartimaeus. He would not be denied. We used to sing a song around Rockmark Church. I would not be denied. Amen. Praise God. I believe Jacob had that same thought in his mind when he had that dream and when he wrestled with that angel. I would not be denied. I will assure you tonight, and I believe I can back it up by the Word of God. If we get on our hands and knees and we begin to petition God and we will not be denied, it may take more than a 30-minute prayer. Amen. But we become believers in the fact that God is able to do what he said he would do. I will assure you that persistence will pay off and God will have his way in your life. Praise God. And it opened up the eyes of Bartimaeus when he cried, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, be quiet, Bartimaeus. Don't bother the master. But nevertheless, he cried out all the more louder, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Amen. And Jesus called for him. What I like about it, he said he threw off his coat. Amen. Sometimes we realize that coat was significance of a blind beggar. Amen. They were recognized as they sat along the wayside. There, you could tell them by the coat that they wore. Amen. That was a beggar's coat. Amen. But when he got up, he threw that thing away because he knew, amen, that he wasn't going to be a beggar anymore. He knew that his eyes were going to be opened. He knew that God was going to transform his life. Praise God. That is what I call effectual faith, a faith that not only affects us, but it affects those around us. Amen. Don't you want to be an asset to people? Don't you want to lead folks to Christ Jesus? Amen. Is your faith effectual? It may bring healing, as in the case of the lame man. When Peter and John walked into the gate up to the worship the Lord there, and the lame man looked upon them expecting to receive something. Many wonderful messages have been preached on the lame man. That word, expecting to receive something. I don't know about you tonight, but I will assure you, if you came into this house tonight expecting to receive something, you won't be disappointed. God will supply the need. Amen. Whether it be healing, whether it be deliverance, whether it be refreshing of your spirit, whatever it may be. Amen. If you fully put your faith and trust in God and believe, God will do His part. Amen. The lame man looked upon them expecting to receive something, and Peter said, we don't have any silver and gold, but such as we have. Hallelujah. How many are so thankful that such as you have tonight? Glory to God. Give I in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk, and immediately, hallelujah, his ankle bones received strength, and he went in glorifying and praising the Lord, because his faith was effectual, even so much so that it affected the other people there in the synagogues. Your faith may also break chains. The choir sings, he's a chain breaker. How many's been experienced with that? How many's got experience with the Lord breaking chains in your life? Different things that have us bound. But Paul and Silas, I wish they were here tonight to let them testify to the very fact, amen, that the Lord is a chain breaker. Amen. At midnight, they begin to praise God and sing songs, amen, rather than worrying and fretting about where they was. They begin to glorify and praise God. Let me tell you something. If you can praise God when chains are around you and you're in prison by different situations, I will assure you, you can praise God in a praise service, amen, and in a church where the Holy Ghost is flowing. I will assure you that you can be blessed during that time as well. Your faith also may forgive others. And this is where I wanted to get to tonight. As we read the book of Philemon, as we read the introduction, and as we read Bible history, tells us that the Apostle Paul, he's not only writing a letter of encouragement to Philemon, but he has a very special request from Philemon concerning one human being by the name of Onesimus. And Bible history tells us that Onesimus was at one time Philemon's servant or slave, but he had stolen from Philemon. He had fled to Rome in fear of what would happen to him. But just by chance, or by divine intervention, that I like to call it, amen, his path crossed with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was able to minister to this Onesimus. And Onesimus' life was changed. He became a believer. A born-again believer. Now, this is what I believe all of this pertains to tonight. We can have the faith to let walls fall down. We can have the faith even when we're tested. We can have the faith that destroys giants in our life. We can have the faith to see blinded eyes open. We can have the faith, amen, to see the lame man walk. We can have the faith to see bent arms straightened out. We can have the faith to proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. But to really let our faith be effectual, how can we apply that in the forgiveness of people who have wronged us? I know that's not a shouting message, but it's true anyway. The Apostle Paul began to ask Philemon to again accept Onesimus. Even though he has wronged you, even though he has stolen money from you, but can I tell you, there's been a change in Onesimus' life. Glory to God. Aren't you glad that God can change our lives? Aren't you glad that God can restore us? Aren't you glad that when God forgives us, He forgets our past? Amen. I'm so thankful. Glory to God. And as I begin to read this and I begin to think about for my faith to be truly effectual, for it to affect others, I need to be able to forgive those who may have wronged me. Forgive those, amen, who said aught against me. Forgive those, amen, for whatever reason they came. Glory to God. I'm going to let them work it out with the Lord. But as for me, I'm going to let my faith be effectual. I'm going to let my faith affect those around me. I'm going to live by faith, not just stand and preach faith, but I got to live by faith and exercise faith in all areas of my life. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Every time He's touched me, every time He's healed me, every time He's answered a prayer, every time He has been with me, every time, glory to God, when I think that I can't take another step, I have the presence of the Lord to help me, glory to God, to keep going on. And I'm going to communicate that, and I'm going to acknowledge that. For my faith to become effectual, people have got to see it in our lives. It's got to be acknowledged. Acknowledge every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Philemon, do you have the faith to forgive? Do you have the faith to restore? I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable. What a very tactful way the Apostle Paul used these words. But now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. I love this. Now, not thou as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Don't receive him as a slave. Don't receive him as a servant, but receive him as a brother. Amen. Glory to God. Onesimus, your servant who stole from you, receive him not as a servant, but receive him as a brother. Amen. I know God uses faith, and I know God honors faith, but so many times we need to use faith, amen, in forgiving our brother, in forgiving our sister, amen, and loving them and restoring them, amen, in the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. I spoke about faith of my mother. I spoke about how that she was steadfast in her faith. I was at mother's room just a little while ago before I came to church. I dropped Penny and Kevin off, and I went by and again to check on mother. And she was complaining with her shoulder hurting. And mother's in a situation where sometimes it may just be that her arm is asleep or something, but I rubbed it, and she said it felt better, but then it was on her mind again as I sat there, and then she went and laid down, and I told her, I said, well, cover up, maybe it's cold, and just put this blanket on you, and maybe it'll get the feeling better, and I rubbed it a little bit. She said, oh, that feels better. So she sat down, or laid down there on the bed, and I went over and sat down, and then I began to hear my mother, and she was talking to her mother, and she was telling her mother, you are so sweet, mother. Just come and touch me, mother. Just touch me. And you're so sweet, so precious. And then she repeated that over and over and over. And then it was her daddy. She it broke my heart a little bit. She started crying when she called on her daddy. She said, daddy, you're so sweet. Please come. Please come and touch my shoulder. You know what to do. you know what to do. She said that over and over and over. And so I listened for that little while. And then I got up and I went over, and her eyes were just closed shut, tears rolling down her cheek. And I knew that the Lord was blessing her. And I said, Mother, I'm just going to lay my hand on your shoulder, and I'm going to pray. And we're going to ask the Lord to touch and to heal your shoulder. Now, with Mother's situation, you're not real sure whether her shoulder is really hurting or not. Sometimes it's just, it gets numb or something. And I told her to work her arm. But she opened those eyes. She looked up at me. And you tell she'd just been squalling and crying, because I know that she was, her words may have been Mother and Daddy, but I think she was getting in touch with the Lord. And I laid my hand on her shoulder, and she began to cry. And yeah, I did about what I'm doing now. I just sought for some words. And I laid my hand on her shoulder, and I said, Mother, I'm going to pray for your shoulder. And so I began to pray. And I truly expected the Lord to touch her. And I laid my hand on her shoulder, and we prayed. And then she started praying. She started praying. And you talk about some effective faith. It just flashed in my mind as I was praying many times that the roles were reversed, and she was praying for me, praying for others. But anyway, I touched her shoulder. I laid my hand on her shoulder, and I prayed. I said, in the name of Jesus, because that's how I was taught to pray. In the name of Jesus, Lord, touch her shoulder. Lord, take that pain away right now. God, move it. Mother began to raise her arms, and she began to glorify and praise the Lord. It was a short prayer, but she threw that blanket back. She said, I'm going to get up. I'm going to get up. I said, okay, you feel like it? I feel good, she said. I feel good. And she started moving on. She said, it don't hurt anymore. It don't hurt anymore. Amen. Thank God. And her faith affected me. Her faith has affected me over many, many years. Amen. So never discount the fact that your faith won't have an effect on others, but it has to be effective in your life. You have to live by faith. You have to exercise that faith. Faith is calling it done when you cannot see the evidence of seeing it done. Faith is claiming it anyway, regardless of what man says or the doctor says or what anybody else says. Faith is holding on to the fact that you believe God is able to do what He said He would do. Amen. Do I have any believers in the house tonight who believe that God is able to do what He said He would do? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. I'm going to ask the musicians if they would return for just a short time. I've been blessed in my life to see many miracles performed in the churches that my granddaddy pastored, in the revivals that I've been blessed to be a part of, even in the youth rallies and the youth camps and the fellowship meetings and all. I've seen many, many prayer requests made, and I've seen many miracles done and performed. Amen. And it has an astounding effect on others. But you know what? We have not because we ask not. If we ask believing, all things are possible. There may not be a need in this house tonight, and if there's not, that's great. Amen. But I believe that each and every one of us need to let our faith become more effective, not just affect our own personal life, but affect those that are around us. Because I believe that God can do anything. Let's do, there's nothing that my God can't do. Let's do it in G, I guess. He measured the seas with the span of His hand. Mountains were placed at His command. At the sound of His voice, the sun shone through. And there's nothing, no, nothing that my God can't do. There's nothing, there's nothing, there's nothing that my God can't do. Miracles and wonders. Well, there's nothing, no, nothing that my God can't do. Well, He's so great, He holds this world in the palm of His hand. Yet so small He can live in the heart of a man. It's a mystery, a great mystery, but oh, so true, that there's nothing, no, nothing that our God can't do. If you believe that, sing that chorus with me. Oh, there's nothing, there's nothing, there's nothing that my God can't do. Nothing, no, nothing that my God can't do. With every head bowed, every eye closed, every saint of God praying, there's something in your life that you want God to touch. This altar's open. If you want your faith to become more effectual, there's no better time to start than tonight. If you have a need, if you have a sickness, if you just want to get closer to the Lord, whatever the case may be, please come tonight. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Because there's nothing, no, nothing that my God can't do. Hallelujah.